Our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 to 11. Let us hear God's word. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to this land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your household. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you know when the first Thanksgiving was celebrated in Canada? Any ideas? Pilgrims, that's not us. Is this a clue? Does this help? Sir Martin Frobisher and his crews celebrated Thanksgiving on Baffin Island in 1578 as they looked for the Northwest Passage, the first time Thanksgiving was celebrated in Canada. It became a national holiday in 1879 when it was celebrated on November the 6th, but it wasn't until 1957 that it had a fixed schedule when the Parliament of Canada declared a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed to be observed on the second Monday of October. This is Thanksgiving. And what are we thankful for? Think that through. Think about the things that you are thankful for as we come together today. Make a list in your head. It is harvest time, so we do thank God for the harvest, for good food and for clean water. We thank God for family and for friends. We thank God for a home and career. But I want us to think bigger than that today. Is there more for which we could and even should be thankful? Think back upon the past year. What experiences, what things happened in your life for which you are truly thankful? Think back upon this past year and think of the people with whom you interacted in this past year for which you are truly thankful. Think about the things that could have happened in the past year that did not happen, for which you are truly thankful. But I want us to think bigger than that as well. I'll show you what I mean. We read from the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Old Testament and part of the Jewish Torah. The setting for the book is that the people of God are preparing to enter into the land that God had promised to give to them. And our passage is about bringing a thanksgiving offering to God. The offering was to be of the first fruits. Now, that can mean a couple of different but related things. First fruits can mean the first and freshest part of the harvest. Before you took any part of the harvest for yourself, you were to take what came first and give it to God. That was a real expression of faith, because you give that first part to God, you don't know what the weather is going to be like. You don't know for sure what the harvest is going to be like, but you give the first of it to God. You give to God off the top. That's one way of looking at first fruits. Another way of looking at first fruits is that it can also mean the very best you have, the ripest of fruit, not overripe, the ripest of fruit, and the heaviest heads of grain, the healthiest animals. So the offering was to be a first fruits. It was not to be an afterthought of their leftovers. They were to give their very best to God. And it was because the very best was a true and right and appropriate expression of thanks, the thanks that they owed to God. Now, we need to note a couple of things here. This offering was to be given after the people had come into the promised land. In fact, it was to be given after they had settled into the promised land. In fact, it was to be after they had settled in and after a season of growth when the harvest was ready, then they were to give this offering of thanksgiving. The offering was not to be seen as a tax for coming into the promised land, nor was it a toll to be paid to get into the promised land. The thanksgiving offering was to be given only after the people had received God's gift of the land, received God's gift of home, received God's gift of the harvest. So the offering came after the people had already received the abundance of God's grace. The offering was in response to God's grace. The offering was in thanks for God's grace. And this passage is really clear about to whom the thanks is owed. I don't know if you noticed it when we read it through, but in 11 verses, the name of God, Yahweh, the name of God occurs 13 times. If you read it through where it says Lord in small caps, that is the representation of the name of God, Yahweh, in our translation. 13 times in 11 verses. 9 times the title God is used. And 6 of all of those are referenced to the fact that the land was a gift from Yahweh, from God. So this passage is pretty clear as to who the thanks should go to. The people were to bring their offering of the first fruits to God, to the place that God had selected. And then we read, "Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, 'My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me.'" And then place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Along with the giving of the offering of first fruits was the telling of a story. In fact, it was the telling of the story. This telling of the story starts with Jacob. Jacob was the wandering Aramean. And with him and his family, that they moved down into Egypt because of famine in the land of Canaan. And while there, the family grew and grew to a very numerous group of people, so big that the Egyptians feared them and so oppressed them and enslaved them. Generations passed. And finally, the people cried out to God. And he heard their cry, and he saw their oppression, and God saved his people from Egypt and slavery and brought them to the land that he had promised to give to them. The whole of that story was clearly not just a personal story for one individual, given that it's a story that spans about 500 years. This is the story of the people of God. It wasn't complete. There's a lot of detail that's not in that, but it is still a telling of the story of the people of God. And it's woven together with God's story. The story of the people and God's story woven together in him saving the people. It was the people's story, but the individual had a place in that bigger story. We read, "And now I bring the first fruits of the soil to you, Lord, that you have given me." The individual's story is part of the bigger story of God saving his people. When a person brought the offering and set it before the Lord, each of them inserted themselves into the story of the people, into the story of God. It was the big story, but they all and each had a role and place in that bigger story. They were each a part of it. The Thanksgiving offering included an offering of first fruits, the produce of the land, and a sharing of the story of God saving his people and the individual's place within that story. You see, the sharing of that bigger story and the individual's place within it marked what God had done for them. And so in thanks, and in greatly expanded and deepened thanks because of all that God had done, not only for them as individuals, but for them as a people, they bow down to worship God. They rejoiced before God. They celebrated before God. And that was Thanksgiving in the Promised Land for the ancient people of God. And here we are today in 2019 in Ottawa, also celebrating a Thanksgiving, where our symbols of Thanksgiving tend to be turkey and pumpkin pie and maybe colorful leaves. Perhaps we can learn something from those ancient people and their Thanksgiving. Now, I don't want to belabor this point because it's not the main point that I see in this, but it is important nonetheless. The people of God were to bring their first fruits. That is, they were to give to God off the top. Before they paid themselves, they were to pay God. They were to make their thank offering to God because they owed him so much thanks. They were to offer God the very best of what they had, and not just their leftovers, and not just as an afterthought. God deserves at least that level of thanks from us because the story continued past the Promised Land. The story continued with God's relationship with his people. The story continued where God came to his people in Jesus and lived and died on the cross and rose again for his people, for us, to forgive us, to save us. And that leads us to the point on which I want to concentrate today, that we also should remember and express the story of our place in the bigger story. I'm talking here about the gospel, the big story, the good news about Jesus. The good news is God's story, and it goes back to the beginning. The story that the people were to tell when they brought their thanksgiving offering, the story that went from Jacob to coming into the promised land, that's part of the story, that's part of the gospel. It's part of the good news about Jesus. And that's why the first four books in the New Testament are called gospel. Not just because they set out the story of Jesus, but because they set out the story of Jesus in the context of the bigger story of God. Have you noticed that? The book of Matthew begins with a genealogy that goes back deep into the story of the Old Testament to show that Jesus is part of God's bigger story. Mark connects Jesus' story with the words of a prophet from the Old Testament. It's the shortest of the Gospels, so has the shortest point of connection, but to show that Jesus is part of God's bigger story. Luke also uses a genealogy in his Gospel, and his goes back to creation to show that Jesus is part of this amazing big story that God has been telling and is telling. And John's gospel begins with the words, "in the beginning." Again, going back to creation. Again, showing that Jesus is part of this incredible big story that God has been telling through all of history. God saving his people from slavery in Egypt is a foretaste of God saving us in Jesus. It's all part of God's story. And when we accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, we find that we too are actually part of that story, part of the story of the people of God, part of God's story. And we discover that God is part of our stories. So, where's Grant going with this? While we celebrate Thanksgiving, let us take an example from those ancient people in how they expressed their thanks to God. In Thanksgiving, let's tell our stories. You don't have to tell each other, although you can. Let's at least tell our stories to God. And yes, I know God already knows the story. When we share our story with God, we will not be providing him with any new information at all. He knows it. It's not about providing God with information. It is about sharing our souls with God. And he loves it when we do that. When we share ourselves with God, and we can do that in reflecting on our story with him. How do we start? Think about the big and important things in your life, the big important events in your life. Make a timeline on a piece of paper and start marking those events down. Add some notes to it so you remember exactly what was going on there. And then look at those events and see how you experienced God in any way through any and all of those experiences. If perhaps you say that you never felt that you experienced God through any of those experiences, what about today? As you look back in retrospect, can you see any ways in which God was actually actively at work in your life, even though you could not have recognized it at the time? Are there times and ways in which God came into your life and experience before you knew it? And you can expand your story. Look back farther to your parents and grandparents. As far back as you can go, where did God come into their story? Ask them if you can. then set that aside for just a moment and consider God's story. You see, God called Abraham to trust him and to follow him, and Abraham did. And God was faithful to Abraham and gave him a family that became a nation. And they became enslaved in Egypt. They were in Egypt by God's grace, saving them from famine, but they became enslaved in Egypt. And they cried out to God, and God saved them and brought them through the desert, through to the promised land. God gave them the land that he had promised to give to Abraham centuries before. God made the people a nation, and sometimes the people were faithful and good, just like us. And sometimes the people were unfaithful and selfish, just like us. But God was faithful and loving in all ways, at all times. God kept on loving them and called after them to come home to him every time they wandered off. And then God came to his people in Jesus. God lived and died in Jesus for us. God raised Jesus from the dead and in him forgives our sins and gives us life. He saves us in Jesus when we accept him. And God built his church and has been faithful to his people since then, down through the centuries, through the millennia. At times the church has been faithful, at times the church has been unfaithful. Always God has been faithful to us. And then you were born. And what happens next in the story? You see, you come into God's story at that point. So where does the story go next? That's your part of the story. Think through that story and all the ways in which the Lord has been with you and blessed you. Blessed you in Jesus for salvation, blessed you in provision of needs day by day, year by year. Tell that story. And in that story, express your thanks to God. And then in thanks, bow down and worship him. In thanks, celebrate before him. In thanks, rejoice before him. In thanks, party before him for all that he has done for you, for all that he is doing for you, for all he will be doing for you. Trust Jesus. Know your place in his story. And give thanks. Let's pray together. Our loving God, we thank you for this story, for your story, that you spoke and creation happened, that you called the people of your creation to be in relationship with you. And when we turned away from you, you continued to be faithful and to call after us. We thank you for the promises that you made your people down to your people down through the centuries, through the millennia. We thank you for calling your people to trust you and to be with you. We thank you for your faithfulness through all of the faithfulness and unfaithfulness of your people. And we thank you that in the fullness of time, you came to us in Jesus. To live for us, to die for us, to rise again for us, that we should know life. And we thank you for the church, for the ways in which you have worked in and through the church through the centuries. And then, Lord, we know that we come into the story. And we thank you for our place in your story. And this day, as we give thanks, we thank you for the harvest, for good food and clean water. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you for home and jobs. We thank you for the love and the hope that you give us in Jesus. We thank you for this country. We thank you for the freedom that we know in Canada and the abundance that we know. And we thank you for the gift that soon we will be able to vote in an election to choose our leaders, where there are so many in the world that would love that opportunity. We thank you for that gift that we have. And we thank you, Lord, that you trust us to follow you and to serve you. And you have entrusted to us the gospel. You have entrusted to us the good news about Jesus, that we should make it known in this world, in our communities, in our families. We thank you that you trust us so much that you would entrust to us the most important message the world has ever known. The love that you have for us in Jesus. The grace that you give us in him through his cross and resurrection. Lord, we bow before you and give you thanks. We give you thanks for all your goodness to us. We give you thanks in Jesus. Amen.